Well, that'll get you warmed up. I want to mention a couple things I forgot to ask Pastor Charles to pass on to you. Today is a good reminder that we used our call multiplier system to announce to a lot of you, not everybody, that we would only be having one service. So if you did not get a call from us this morning about having one service versus two, please see Linda or myself. Hand us your name and number. We would like to have you on that list so you could be informed like everybody else. So if you didn't get a call today, that means you're not on the list. We would like you to be on the list to keep you updated of whatever might come along. And so if you would like to be, please give your name and number to Linda or myself so we can get you on that list. The second thing is, Charles and I talked about this a little, and we will continue to talk about it through the week. Keep an ear out to the church's call multiplier and Facebook. The way the temperatures are predicted for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we may not have anything. We will have to see the way the rest of the state, schools, and whatnot are responding to this weather. And lastly, another prayer request. A lot of you know Pastor Dave Wold. He's been here with us from time to time, Pastor Lincoln for some time. We've had Dave on our prayer list for a while for heart surgery. That is, in fact, finally happening this Friday at the Mayo Hospital. And so if you would jot that down, Pastor Dave's heart surgery is this Friday at the hospital. I received an email or a text just a little while ago, also from Kathy Johnson. Hans is back in the Mayo. And so please look at the prayer focus. Be aware of all those names. There's a lot of names on there. They would love your prayers. And coincidentally, we serve a God who knows all of these things already. And so it's just our obligation and responsibility to lift them up to the Lord. Amen? Let's pray now. God, our Father, thank you that we can come together like this. It is cold, but you have allowed us, and your grace has been good once more today, and you have allowed us to come into your presence. And I just pray for your Holy Spirit's moving, not only in this congregation, but in churches everywhere, and that the name of Jesus would be lifted up, and the name of Jesus would be glorified. And you, our Heavenly Father, who sit on the throne, you would be glorified in our worship today. We do thank you, Father, for granting a safe passage here. Please grant safe passage to all that will travel this day and this week. And please help us to know what to do in these cold, cold weather, especially when it comes to other activities. God, I just lift up these names on the prayer focus to you today. There are those that have lost their loved ones. There are those that are going to Mayo for surgery. There are those that are there. There are those in hospitals and care centers here. There are those that got bad reports about cancer and all kinds of things. Father, we lift them all up to you and ask, thy will be done. And Father, we pray for our communities. We pray for our nation, those that haven't surrendered completely to Christ, that people would be born again, that people would be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and that we in a nation would see a turning to you instead of this turning away from you. Father, forgive us. We have turned our back on you. We desperately need you. We need you in America, from the White House to the church house and everywhere in between. We need you, O God. Come, Holy Spirit. Revive your church. Revive your people in North America and around the globe to the glory of God, we pray. To the health and the survival of our nation, revive your church, O God, we pray. Thank you again for each and every person here. You know what's on our hearts this morning. You know what's in our minds. And I just pray that you'd touch hearts, speak to ears, and as Jesus said so often, he that has ears, let him hear. Let us hear from you today, Father. By your Spirit, O God, let us hear from you as we continue our worship of you. We give you thanks and praise. We love you. We need you. Continue to guide us as we worship you here and in churches everywhere, I pray in the precious and holy and mighty name of Jesus. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 12. I mentioned that at the beginning of this month, at the beginning of this series, when I brought up this whole topic of using our talents, using our gifts. We touched on 1 Corinthians 12 some time ago. I wanted to elaborate on it a little more today. So if you've got your Bibles, that's where we're at. 1 Corinthians 12. I want to impress upon us again. Let me just ask you to think about this, because most of you can think in these terms. Who's going to watch the Super Bowl? None of you. That's what I thought. Thank you for your honesty. Most of you are. You're just the two bears to tell me. When is that, by the way? Some of us don't pay any attention to it. Is it next week? All right. Think of the team approach, because we're talking about God's team, the church, people of God, gifted by the Holy Spirit, equipped to do His will. We're talking about God's team. Think about these teams that'll gather next Sunday or whenever it is. Is either coach going to send out 8 people? That would be ridiculous, would it not? If one team sent out the 11 and the other team sent out 8, how would they fare? Are you baseball fans? Is any coach in his right mind going to send out 7 of the 9? No. Is any basketball coach going to send out 4 of the 5? So when you think of that team mentality, and we all can relate, we all have some connection to sports in some way, in some time, in some place. As the coach, he or she is not going to send out a partial team. And when Paul talks to us about the team of the church, he's saying the same thing. We send out the partial team. In other words, if only part of us are using our Holy Spirit-given gift, we're only sending out part of the team. And if we're only going to send out part of the team, some of the things for God aren't going to get done. Have you got the mentality, the team idea? It isn't going to happen next Sunday. They're not going to send out a partial team. And it shouldn't happen in the church either. 1 Corinthians 12. Most of you know this because we started on this some time ago, but let me just reiterate a little bit at the beginning, work our way through it. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. We talked about that before. The Holy Spirit of God will give to you when you become born again, when you are reborn into the kingdom of God, when you invite Christ in, you've repented of sin, the Bible says you are a new creation, and the Holy Spirit of God will give you a gift. There are diversities of gifts, Paul reminds us, but they come from the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries. We know that. If we've had anything to do with any church, any time, any place, there are differences of ministries. We're all unique. There's a lot of different needs around us. There's a lot of different needs within us. That's why there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Now, 7 is important. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. I mentioned that to us before. And I want us to ponder for a second. Have you and I allowed the manifestation of the Spirit in us? In other words, God in His Spirit will give us a gift. We read through them, and there's other lists in the Scriptures. Have we allowed that to show itself? Are we using our gift to help build each other up and to the glory of God? Have we allowed the Spirit of God to so move in us that we want to use His gift He's given us for God's glory, for the advancing of the kingdom, and for helping each other? Verse 8, For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gift of healings by the same Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He, the Spirit, wills. We went over this before, so I'm not going to elaborate on these gifts right now, but I want to say to us again, God has instilled these gifts and more into the believers of the congregation, the body, He calls it, to glorify God and to build each other up. For the body to be most efficient and most effective, I mentioned this just briefly 3 weeks ago, it works best when all of the body, physically speaking, is working. He goes into that from 12 and on. The body works best if we've still got our hands and our arms and our liver and our kidneys, and the body works best if we have our toes and we have our ears. It's the same way in the church. The body of Christ will always work best when the gifts are all being used. Just like the team mentality. We need each other. Doesn't matter if you've been born again and you're 14 or you've been just born again and you're 84. We have a gift from God to be used for each other. We need each other. Amen? We need each other to hold each other accountable. As He says later in this chapter, when somebody is hurting, to come alongside them and help carry their burden. When somebody is rejoicing, to rejoice with them. The body needs each other. As the physical body is working best with all of our parts, so it is with the spiritual body. That's what the Apostle Paul reminds us in this chapter. We can read all about the physical body. He uses that for an example from 12 on. Excuse me. But there's a couple things in there I want to highlight. 14 says, for in fact the body is not one member but many. I've told you this, and you know this. Pastors don't make up the church. It's just like calling a hand the whole body. Paul says that not any individual makes up the church. It's all individuals. He even says, even though it's seemingly like, well, what do I really need a little pinky for? Or what do I need a little toe for? Or what do I need a gallbladder for heaven's sakes? Matter of fact, I don't even have one anymore. But we might be saying, what do we need you for? What do we need? What the Bible says, according to the Apostle Paul here, even though the body part may seem insignificant, the body works best with it. Amen? That's how the body works best. That's exactly the same way with the church. He gives us this illustration of our physical body and how it's always going to work best if it's all working together. And it's the same way in the church. If it's not working together, well, it ain't going to work the best. He elaborates in there. If the hand should say, well, I'm not a foot, so I'm not part of the body. It doesn't work that way, and it doesn't work that way in the church either. If some parts of this church says, maybe I've got a wayward arm and says, I'm going to go do my own thing, and the other body parts of the body is trying to do their own thing, it isn't going to work because the body can't go but one direction at a time. And so he gives us this beautiful illustration here of the human body, how marvelous God put it together, how marvelously He made it all work. And He gives us this beautiful illustration that not only has God created the human body, He has created the church, the body of Christ. Verse 24 says, but God composed the body. God brought you here. You're not here by accident. And there are other churches doing the good work of Jesus in towns all around us. And God has brought them together to do what He has called them to do. We don't come together by accident, brothers and sisters. God has orchestrated this. God, the Apostle Paul says, composed the body. Physically speaking, yes, but God brings us together spiritually speaking too. And so you can read all about that. I'm not going to read it over for us in 12 through 26 again. I do want to reiterate 26, though. I said it already. I'll read it to us again. If one member suffers, when the body is working best, all the members suffer with it. If I've just whacked my thumb with a hammer, the rest of my body is going to respond. Probably isn't going to be positive. That's the same way with the human body as the spiritual body. When one of us, one of you, one of my family, one of your family is suffering, is hurting, the body of Christ works best when we're hurting with them. When one of you is rejoicing, the body works beautifully when we are rejoicing with you. Amen? That's what Apostle Paul is describing to us here. That is the picture that God had in mind when He created the body of Christ. Loving one another, building each other up, crying with one another when we hurt, rejoicing with one another when we're rejoicing together as a body. That's the picture that God gave us through the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 12. Now let me say this because time is going quickly. Let me just say, in trying to bring some of this together, if you have been reborn, simply meaning not a church member, not a good person, but you've been born again, according to what Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, you have laid it all on the line for Jesus Christ. It's not just, yeah, I know, and I believe He's real. I've surrendered my life. I've repented of my sins, surrendered my life, invited Him to be Lord. When we have done that with the Son of God, the Spirit of God comes into us to a level that not only changes us from the old to the new, the Spirit of God comes into us and gives us a gift to be used to glorify God. Now, there are folks that would say, well, I didn't get no gift. Well, let me just say, if you have surrendered your life to Christ, He wants to give you one. Now, I suppose you can resist, but why would we when the Holy Spirit of God has something for us to do? Why would we resist? Why would we not say, fill me, Holy Spirit of God, and take over my life, and whatever you fill me with, show me how to use it for your glory and to help my brothers and sisters in the Lord. I will say this again. When we are actually part of the body of Christ, we have surrendered our life completely to Jesus. If we're not using our gift, there are things in the kingdom work and people in the body. There's things that won't get done and people in the body that won't get ministered when we are not all using our gifts. It's that important. that we use what God has given to us. You say, Jim, how am I supposed to know what my gift is? You can start with, what are you enjoying? Is it ministering to kids? He said, no. That's what some of his answers are, is. But some have that gift, believe it or not. Hallelujah. Thank you for those that have that gift, because we need you. Some might be gifted at visiting the elderly folks. We have facilities everywhere with people that are locked in their elderly folk places. We have elderly folks at home. We have widows. We have people grieving. We have people sick in hospitals and going through cancers and all kinds of stuff. The body ministering to these people is the body at work. Hallelujah. Praying, singing, tithing, more than tithing. God has blessed me financially, and so that is my gift. God has given us so many diversities of gifts. We got a few listed here, but there's a lot more. And so when we choose not to use our gift, something in the kingdom is not getting done. Somebody in our body is not getting helped and blessed because the absence of that gift. I thought, you know, I certainly thought in two Sundays, 1 Corinthians 12, I could wrap it all up. I can see that's not going so well either. I got way more stuff here than I got time for. So let me just say a couple things to try to bring this to close. God loves you. He loves you so much He sent His Son to die for you. That if you would only call upon Him, repent of your sin and call upon Him, He's going to make you new. He's going to save you. He's going to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. But then He's got a pathway for you. Yeah, you're still going to work in the factories, in the restaurants, in the homes, in the farms, in the ranches. You're still going to do that. But you've got a gift to be used of God to build each other up, to come alongside your neighbors, to come alongside those in the church, and to glorify God. He's given you a gift when you've been born again to be used for His glory. All of us. You can make excuses like I did when God was calling me to the ministry, and I say, you got the wrong guy. We can do that. But something is going to be missing when we do. Somebody is going to be missing out on a blessing. You coming to visit them. Are you saying, can I pray for you? Are 100 other things when we say, you got the wrong guy. And this whole idea from verse 26 about suffering, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. I want us to think for a minute. Have you ever seen that happen? I mean, played out completely? When one person in our midst is hurting, and we know that, have we all suffered with it? That person? Have you ever seen that played out? That's a beautiful thing. I saw it played out when our little Catherine was diagnosed the first and the second time with leukemia, when the body hurt. I see it played out when others have got cancers and leukemias and we hurt with them. It burdens us and we hurt for them. I've seen it played out. Sometimes we're not that good at it. I got to admit, I do a lot of funerals. And I got to admit that sometimes the greatest support, I've seen this at funerals played out over and over, is not the church family. I've seen that played out too. So sometimes we're not that good at suffering when our body suffers. But I have also seen it played out. I have seen rejoicing when one member or a family or a part of the body is rejoicing. Maybe they've been born again. When I've invited some of you to give your testimonies, we rejoice with you because of what God has done for you. I've seen it played out. But then sometimes I haven't seen the body rise up to rejoice when someone else is rejoicing with them. I've seen it both ways. I'm just suggesting to us, and I realize we have two separate congregations, kind of, because we got two services going on here every Sunday morning. Sometimes, well, I've never met so-and-so on the second service because I'm never at that one. So there's a lack of understanding and a lack of knowing to some degree. I get that. But what Paul is saying here is, let us love one another to the point that when somebody is hurting, we hurt with them. Let us love one another to the point that someone was rejoicing, we rejoice with them. That is the way of the body, the beautiful picture of the body that he's described here. And then he goes to 1 Corinthians 13. I got to stop now because time's already up. Of course, it's cold out. We could stay a while longer. And maybe it'll get a little warmer. But the last verse in 1 Corinthians 12 is a prelude to the next chapter. He said, earnestly desire the greatest gifts. The greatest gift is love. And we will talk about 1 Corinthians 13 a little. Because, brothers and sisters, if we have given our heart, our life, completely to Jesus Christ, love should define us. If God has given us no other tangible gift, well, I don't have the gifts of healing, Jim. I don't have the gift of prophecy. I don't have the gift of administration. If he's given us none of that, he has given you and I the gift to love in a new capacity. Amen? And we will look at that another time, because the time's already up. I want us to recognize, brothers and sisters, how important you are to the body, to the functioning of the body. Don't tell me I'm only 14, 15, 18. You're important to the body. Don't tell me I'm 94, 95, 96. I respect them greatly, don't get me wrong. But if you're still with us, you're still making up the body. God has a purpose for you to make the body strong and beautiful and in shape, like we could go out and run a marathon. That's the picture of the body. All of us contributing somewhere in life with somebody around us, yes, in the church, but also out. That is the picture that God gives us through the Apostle Paul about the body. Amen? All right, I'll quit now. I could have said more, but I'll quit. I want to invite our praise team to come and lead us in your great name again. I want us to bask and revel in the name of Jesus. And if there is anything that you would like prayer for, Pastor Charles is up here, I'm up here. If you want to be prayed over, we'll be glad to do that while we sing or afterwards, either one. But just breathe in this song. Breathe in the name of Jesus. To a new degree, to a new level of surrender, and allow, when you have trusted, surrendered wholeheartedly to Christ, allow the Holy Spirit of God to move you and use that beautiful gift he's given you.
Receive the closing prayer of blessing. Heavenly Father, we praise you. Your holy name has so many attributes: King, Lord, Provider, the giver of the Son of Man, Jesus. So, Father, we're asking as we leave here today, that before the sun sets and it rises again tomorrow, burn in our hearts a passion for the gift that you have given us. Awaken and open our eyes to what it is that you have created us for. You've given us a talent, a gift, an ability. You've designed us with personality and with flair and with various abilities. So passion our hearts towards those things, whether it be children, whether it be education, service, visitation, whatever it be, stir that up in our hearts, that we will know beyond a shadow of a doubt what it is we need to do for you. Build in us and burn within us our heart the desire, and open our hearts to see where you're working. Lead us to that point, that we may serve you, serve others, and glorify your holy name. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen.